Is high and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink now. Yes, I, your host, your humble host, am here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle at the Bermuda Triangle Research Base in Puerto Rico, sitting there manning the ship in our flagship station, News Radio 570 WWNC, as producer Sam the Animal Steele, along with Miss Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, it's a weird month. It's April. A lot of people have just been turned upside down. How are things going at Wright's Coin Shop right now?
Things are pretty good at the shop. It's very busy. We see a lot of people. Unfortunately, I think some people had to come in and sell a few things to pay for their taxes, but that happens every year, and it is unfortunate. But things are good. Things are picking up. You remember, you know, you would much rather have coins than buy flowers. Buy coins, not flowers.
Because who's buying flowers?
People who say, oh, it's so nice and warm and beautiful outside. I want to go plant flowers. I want to go work on my yard. Don't do that. Buy coins.
Yeah, I'd
buy
rather
coins
be
instead. Flowers planting. Die. Coins yeah. are forever.
I'd rather plant buried treasure on my land somewhere.
Exactly. We have a lot of customers that do that, actually.
Well, I can see why. I mean, you just can't trust the banks. History shows us that. No. You don't ever want to put everything you have into a bank account, no matter what bank it is or where it is. That's the great thing about Wright's Coin Shop. I mean, you can go in there and take your money and walk out with something physical that's going to not only retain but grow in value over the years. It's something that has intrinsic worth, and it's a good feeling. There's nothing quite like walking out of Wright's Coin Shop with a bag full of nice, shiny, brand-new gold and silver coins. And people might think, oh, someday I'll do that when I'm rich. When I have enough money, I'll go and I'll convert a percentage of it over to gold and silver. They don't understand that they can go to Wright's Coin Shop with $20 or $30 and just get started. And you guys don't work on commission. You're a family business. You guys have been in business over 40 years. And you will give them, you know, the straight dope, so to speak, on what is going to make them happy, because if they're not happy, they're not going to come back again, and you want them to keep coming back, and that's what Wright's customers do. They go back over and over mm-hmm. forever.
They do. They do, and it is nice to know that when you walk out of there, you do have something that is yours. You own it. You have it. You don't have to pay commission on that. You can add to it, or you can sell it at some point, and when you do get ready to sell it, you just bring it in, and you get money. You don't have to wait for a check. You don't have to wait for anything to clear. You just take it in. You take money out of the shop, and that's as easy as it gets. Nobody has to know anything about it. You don't have to involve a bank. You don't have to call up any kind of a brokerage house and say, hey, I'd like to redeem X amount. Please send me a check. There's none of that. There's no hassle there.
Now, of course, there are people who are online who can go to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com, or just go to SpeakingOfStrange.com to find the website, to see a picture of you there in the shop, Shelley, to get a map, to get all the info. But for people who aren't online, tell us, A, how can they physically find you guys, and B, how can they call you from anywhere in the country?
You can find us at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville. It's very close to Biltmore Estate. It's pretty much the same road, just opposite direction. And they could call us at 828-298-5402.
So, again, be sure to write this down. Keep it in a safe place. 828-298-5402 is the number you can call. And if you want, you can ask to speak directly to Miss Shelley Wright, and hopefully she will take your call, because, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, just want to call and talk to the famous, or dare I say infamous, Shelley Wright. And, you know, Shelley, one of the things that people like about you is that you're so candid on this program when it comes to telling the listeners about the way you live your life.
Uh-oh.
And so I just wonder if you can tell us honestly, have you ever fantasized about making sweet, passionate love to a fictional character?
To a fictional character?
I'm thinking one of the Doctor Who's.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that. I was thinking, like, you know, if you read a, you know, certain book or something like that, of course.
Yeah, not an actor. You know, not an actor playing a role. That boils down to too much of a real person.
Right.
So, for example, like, I would say maybe in my life at some point I thought about making sweet love to Jessica Rabbit, for example. Sam. Who would you say?
Well, since Gil Gerard is actually a person, I would have to say Buck Rogers, but...
That's too much like Gil Gerard.
I'm sorry. Let's see.
You would play that man like a finger puppet, wouldn't you, sir?
Yeah, finger puppet. Fictional character. Every fictional character would have to be tied into the actress playing her. Like,
yeah, I'm drawing a blank right now. Throw out some stuff.
Okay, all right. I'll toss one out there for you. On a list of fictional characters that you may include in a love-making fantasy, where on the list would Cookie Monster fall?
Relatively low.
Yep, Cookie Monster.
I'm not really into that whole furry thing.
No.
Well, I would say if you're the kind of lady who likes it rough, I'm imagining Cookie Monster would be that kind of guy. Wouldn't you think?
Are you covered in cookie dough?
maybe cookies would be incorporated.
Do you taste like a macaroon? I don't know if I would think Cookie Monster rough. I would think preoccupied by cookies.
Lots of
crumbs.
Well,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We all like cookies. But yeah, he's furry, he's warm, he's enthusiastic, he's rough. But that you would never incorporate him into a possible romantic scenario?
No.
I would say no.
Okay. Well, one woman had this fantasy crystallize a bit too solidly. Actually, she's not even quite a woman, because we have this story here from the Huffington Post about an incident that happened in Times Square. They say that a 16-year-old girl was groped by Cookie Monster. He approached her there at Times Square. It says he pulled her in a hug and forcibly fondled her, and he was saying, quote, "Cookie!" end quote. They say this girl was part of a tour group that was walking outside the Times Square Toys R Us. But, of course, since Cookie Monster is fictional, the truth is there was a 48-year-old man inside that Cookie Monster outfit. And the man is charged with forcible touching in a manner injurious, and second-degree harassment. And they say also, although Times Square has ostensibly cleaned up from its lean, mean years as an epicenter of debauchery, it has suffered a recent spate of criminal behavior by costumed characters who have also been criticized for demanding money from witless tourists in exchange for photos. And apparently this guy is just the latest in Times Square there to be charged with a crime. They say last year NYPD arrested more than 18 of the performers, including Elmos, Spider-Men, Iron Men, and at least one street brawling Batman. So I mean, I can.
You've been up there lately. Like New York, right?
Yeah, I was. I think the last time I was there was in 2012, so 3 years ago.
So, but you've been in Times Square and seen the deluge of these, you know, people dressed as famous television movie, you know, children's characters. And they're all over Times Square, and you know they're waving, and they try to their racket is get a picture taken with them, and then they charge the parents out the butt for this picture. You know, so everywhere you're going, if you're tripping on acid, you're freaking out. You're like walking through Times Square, which is already kind of a hustle and a bustle, and then there's like all these human, huge, 7 foot tall, like furry monsters walking around, and you have to think that the people who are getting these jobs are not the cream of the crop. They're fondlers. They're probably a bunch of fondlers in there. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the line from The Princess Bride, men in masks cannot be trusted, you know. And, you know, when it comes to this type of profession, I would say that outside Grauman's Chinese Theater and Hollywood is probably the number one place to find people running around in outfits. I even think I once watched a documentary that was done about people who make that their profession. And it is interesting that, you know, to a certain extent, in many places around the U.S., it is against the law to run around with a mask on. Now, that changes at Halloween time. But for the most part, you know, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, even, you know, when we would do the radio trick-or-treating at the mall for many, many years, we weren't allowed to wear masks. Like, you weren't allowed to wear a mask if you were over the age of 13 or 12 or something. Like, no adults could wear masks in the mall. So, I mean, that's like that all over the country. I think you're right.
Yeah. So I can understand why that, hey, you know, it's a fun thing when done properly for tourists, but it also leaves a very easy opportunity on the table there for people who are going to try to, you know, easily disguise themselves while committing some undesirable act. Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, now listen, folks, maybe some of you tuning in have in your life been to a nude beach or a nude camp or somewhere else where being naked was not only okay but expected. But for those of you who never have, especially if you think you never will, when we come back, I have a really interesting piece I'm going to share with you about a woman who went to a nude resort, and she has written a very frank breakdown here of what it really is like to go to one of these places. And we'll also find out if Sam or Shelley have had maybe some experiences with this, and I'll tell you whether or not I have as well. This is the Dark 30 Hour. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for that and a lot more coming up next on Speaking of Strange.
As you stand under the bar lights and the band plays some song about forgetting yourself for a while.
Dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. We'll be right back.
the Dark 30 Hour here on Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And let me explain again now. Dark 30 Hour means we are in safe harbor. So we've saved some stories for you here late at night that are not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. These are some of the more sordid and seedy things that you don't hear so much about the rest of the week in the mainstream news. So you
sordid
may or may not.
And seedy.
Yes. You may or may not want to stick around to hear these stories, but you have been warned, okay? I also want to point out, before we get into this next story, if you have not been to SunshineSimple.com to watch the new video that I shot, I hope that you'll do it. It's not very long, but it's an update for you on, after 5 years in business, why the Sunshine Simple generator is still the world's best, most powerful generator for the price, guaranteed in the solar field. SunshineSimple.com, just go there, watch me tell you why this thing remains on top, okay? And there's a link for you at speakingofstrange.com.
Oh, hey, can I interject really quick? Before we go too far, I want to thank Christopher, using the computer from Christopher's Computers here, and it's been doing very well for the show.
It really has. We've been using that computer for almost a year now from Christopher's Computers.
And the amount of viruses that should be on it from what I look at, and I spilled an entire Dr. Pepper in there. Still trucking. Still trucking.
He did. He really did.
Yeah, well, that's why we only use the best, okay? We are professionals here.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing to think that I'm in Puerto Rico. I'm 1,500 miles away, and we do this show, and it sounds as good as it does. And that's in part because of we are using a computer from Christopher's Computers on Merriman Avenue in Asheville. There's also a link to them at speakingofstrange.com. Christopher is a personal friend of mine and Sam's, and I'm telling you, this guy, he's straight up, he's the best at what he does, and he'll give you just a really honest analysis of what needs to be done to just make you happy. You can also call them at 828-670-9800, 828-670-9800, or again, go check out the link at speakingofstrange.com to Christopher's Computers. Now, I'll be honest with all of you guys. This year I will be 39 years old, and in my entire life, of all the crazy things that I have done, even though I've had plenty of opportunities, I have never stripped down naked in front of strangers.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
It is unbelievable.
If I had a dime, I tell you
it
what.
It really is unbelievable because I have had many opportunities. Now, unless you want to consider, you know, like doctors strangers. But No, that has just never happened to me. Now, I'm going to get to you in a minute, Sam, because I have no doubt you have a resume. But now, Shelley, now I've been honest. It just so happens that, you know, I don't have anything to say. What about you?
Nope, I have not.
Shelley.
I know. It's crazy talk, but no.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sam, your turn. Lay it on us.
I mean, when I was a drinking fella,
yes,
it was more often. I'm not shy about getting a laugh. Nudity, male nudity, can elicit laughter in a number of ways. You have to use it properly, or else you're the creepy guy.
Yes.
You do it too often in the Walmart parking lot, you're going to jail.
Yes.
But if you're at a party and everybody's drunk, and all of a sudden you're the 6'6 guy wearing a tool belt full of liquor, running butt naked in slow motion down the middle of the road with your tallywhacker going up and down, that's funny. Wearing socks only, that's funny. I don't care who you are.
I couldn't agree more, Samuel.
For a laugh, you got to do it right for a laugh, you know.
Okay. Too bad that happened in the days before widespread cell phone video cameras.
I was thinking the same thing.
Can I interject one more? Too?
Oh, please.
I was in London. I was still drinking then too. We had been in the country no more than 2 hours, And we went to Sainsbury's, which is like their Ingles, their grocery store. Over there they have like a Laura Lynn brand, except it's Sainsbury's brand liquor. So you could buy like grocery store brand scotch. And got a couple fifths. I polished off a whole fifth in very quick amount of time. Where we were staying was in Swiss Chapel, which is a posh section of London, one of the biggest thoroughfares in London proper. It's like 10 lanes. It's like 5 lanes each way. Within 2 hours of being in the country, and it was snowing, I was butt naked in the middle of those lanes of traffic. And this was when cameras, like a good digital camera, was 2 megapixels. So we did have a very grainy video of me running across Swiss Chapel, butt naked, storing my clothes behind the subway entrance in the snow. So that was pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. So of all of the profound historic incidents that have graced that property,
Winston Churchill comes to mind. You know,
that was the fingerprint. That was the psychic fingerprint that Sam the Animal Steel decided to leave behind on those hallowed grounds.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. You don't think I will? I'm gonna do it. Watch me.
In fact, I have been threatening for a while to do a segment, or who knows, several segments of the show, which we will just simply enough call the Sam Still Story. And, you know, Sam has been producing this show for almost a year now, so I'm thinking maybe on our next show we will do the Sam Still Story. But Sam, I think, is a little bit of a wuss when it comes to coming out fully, because he doesn't want his friends and family to be embarrassed by all of the horrific
love
things
he's done. I love my mother. I don't want her to feel any undue pain. Torment.
Get phone calls.
Right. You know, be worried about her naked son in another country.
Does your mother listen only to the show when it actually airs on Saturday nights?
No. They listen to some Saturday nights, but they also listen to the podcast segments.
Because I was going to say, I could hire a chauffeur to take your mom and dad out that next Saturday night and buy them a nice dinner and just get them away from the radio for an
evening. I'll believe that when I see it.
I'll pay your father back for all those great math lessons.
I told him about it. He heard us talking about him that night. You know.
Yeah. Well, it is completely truthful. Fortunately, I really did enjoy your father's class, and I'm not a math person, but he was the best math teacher I ever had, and I can honestly say that. Okay, back to the nudity. There was a really interesting piece here that was written in the Huffington Post by a woman named Nancy Roman, and it was called 7 Things I Learned at a Nude Resort in Jamaica. Now, over the years, I have known a number of people who have gone to Jamaica. I, of course, spend a lot of time in the Caribbean, but I've never been to Jamaica. And maybe that's in part because a lot of the people I know who go there come back and they say, look, all we did was smoke pot and run around naked the whole time. And that, I don't know, that just seems a little bit weird to me. But anyway, this woman says, when my husband and I vacationed in Jamaica recently, we took a side trip and we got ourselves a day pass to a nude resort. She said, I did not promise my husband I would go through with it. She said, when I get there, I may chicken out. And he said he was okay with that, leaving that option open. But she says, I was curious. She said, not especially curious about everyone else, but curious about me. Curious about how I would feel completely revealing my body. And then she goes on to say, I did it. I revealed my body. I discovered my body. And I discovered a few interesting ideas. And she breaks this down, again, into 7 different things. And so for those of you who have never been to a nude resort or probably never will go, you'll maybe find this, is, you know, again, interesting as I did. We're already up on another break. When we come back, I will go down this list of 7 things to show you what it's really like to be at a nude resort, at least according to Nancy Roman of the Huffington Post.
Did you say show us what it's like to be at a nude resort? Is this going to be on the website? Or?
Maybe I'm fantasizing as well. Cookie Monster's involved.
Maybe you're naked right now.
There's dough. Of course I am. It's hot. I'm in Puerto Rico. My air conditioner's broken. Okay, when we come back, we'll all enjoy the story of the experience of this woman. This is what we call the Dark 30 Hour, and you can see why. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back. The Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can call Wright's at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Dark 30 means, well, this is when we talk about the more sordid and seedy and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies and not for the easily offended. So tune out if you don't want to hear that kind of content. Hey, Sam, let me ask you real quick. I have an idea for a contest, but I want you to approve of it before I authorize it, okay?
I'm not sleeping with any strangers just for you.
because that next month is going to be your one-year producership here, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of doing a promotion where whoever is listening who is a complete stranger to you and me, okay? Complete stranger, meaning we don't know them, they don't know us, other than through this show. You've never corresponded with them through the internet. The first person who comes up to you, wherever they can track you down.
This sounds like a potential stalker situation.
Exactly. Wherever they can find you. If you are out there, you do shows. You do, like, you know, rock concerts.
Anybody comes to my house, I'm shooting them.
If somebody can, the first person who finds you and physically shakes your hand and screams, "I love Speaking of Strange," I will pay them $100.
How does this behoove me at all? My 1 year, I thought, I was like, oh, this is so sweet. He's going to do something nice. Instead, you're like, I'm going to put out a contest for people to stalk you, scream at you, and then I'm going to give them money? I'm going to say ixnay on that ontest, Kay.
Because then the legend of Sam Still will spread like wildfire, because everybody will look for you, and they'll have
your picture.
I'm
a hermit. I hate people. That's why I stay cooped up in my house and only come out at 3 in the morning.
So you're saying I cannot
I would rather do other things than get accosted by the lovely Speaking of Strange listening audience. We consider you family. However, don't find me and scream at me. Find me and say hello.
I think it would be hilarious because that way you would have some great stories to tell us about all of these high strangers tracking your ass down.
And I have another contest, too. It's called I Will Put Your Personal Phone Number on the website and tweet it out. So everybody can just call Joshua P. Warren whenever they want.
And then you get $100.
Yeah.
All right. Well, think about it. Let it settle in, because I bet you a lot of listeners are like, please, I'm looking. I need $100 to pay my light bill. I will find Sam Still.
All right. Just remember, we can two can play at this game. We don't want to go down. You don't want to open this jar.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. So this woman goes to this nude beach, and she says, here's what I learned. Number one. It says the friends we vacation with did not come with us to the nude resort, and I discovered this was an advantage. I don't think I could have done it with my friends there. Anonymity can be emboldening, and that itself is interesting. I can walk around naked in front of strangers, but not in front of my best friends. Okay, that makes sense. Number two, she says private acts should still be private. Most of the people at the resort were just having fun and feeling free. I enjoyed watching people swim, sunbathe, stroll the beach, laugh and play, wearing nothing but sunscreen. But there were a couple of couples who did indulge in public intimacy, and I found that yucky.
Oh.
She says, clothes may be optional, discretion is not. Number three, she says, although I didn't find it too difficult to walk around naked, I found it incredibly difficult to speak to anyone. It was one thing for people to see me. It was as if I were in some out-of-body experience, and I felt almost invisible. But it was too concrete somehow to have a conversation. I suddenly lost my cloak of invisibility and became a real naked person. I wasn't embarrassed until I spoke. She says, number four, my husband did not have that issue. From the first moment, he was completely relaxed and happy. It was awesome how natural he is, all naturel. He is literally comfortable in his own skin and comfortable with mine, too. I was delighted to find that he was really proud of my 60-plus body. How sweet is that? She says, number five, there is a great benefit in age. At 64, I did not feel that my body was in competition with anyone else. There was an abundance of beautiful young women there. Well, what did that matter to me? There's an exhilarating freedom to finally relinquishing the constant comparison. Who knew that nakedness and old age were so compatible? Number six, she says, keep your sense of humor. I remembered mine in the ladies' room. For much of the first several hours, I didn't move too far from my lounge chair on the beach. But sooner or later, we all have to use the bathroom. It was my first long walk. I think the ladies' room was about 2.4 miles from my beach chair. But here's the fascinating part. You know how there is always a long line for the ladies' bathroom, but none for the men's room? Well, I always thought it was because women wear a lot more clothes and have to get more undressed to pee. But guess what? There was still a line to use the ladies' room, and none for the men's. And we women didn't have to undress at all, but we still had to wait. So there goes that theory. And she says, number seven, most important, bodies are lovely. There were so many kinds. Sometimes I've thought, you've seen one body, you've seen them all. So not true. There were big bodies and little bodies, dark bodies and pale bodies, small breasts and pendulous breasts. There were flat tummies and stretch marks, poochy abdomens and six packs. There were floppy penises and perky ones. And maybe I shouldn't continue this. But anyway, she says, you know, the more I look, the more I love them all. So that is from the Huffington Post. And, you know, I guess it's kind of an uplifting piece in the end, if that's the word we want to use. I don't know. I still don't – reading that does not make me feel as if I would like to go to a nude resort. How about you guys?
No.
I mean, I think we were talking off the air about the movie Euro Trip and how most nude beaches seem to be just like a lot of dudes. A big – what the kids would call a sausage fest.
Right.
Just a lot of guys hoping to see a boobie. And there's the internet for that, or you can, you know, get on the back page or whatever you need to do. But, sure. I mean, there is – I will say there is something exciting about being naked outdoors. It's because in our country, our puritanical, repressed country, nudity is seen to be bad. The human form is seen to be bad. Tell that to Da Vinci.
Right.
No, it's the human. We all have a body. We all have a vessel. You know, like, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I don't know. And also, you know, like, if you're a man, peeing outside is much better than using the restroom indoors. It's much more freeing. And just having the breeze hit you. Have you ever used an outdoor shower at the beach there, Josh? You have an outdoor shower?
Yep, absolutely.
They're amazing, are they not? Because you're naked, you're outside, you feel the breeze, you see the stars, but you got a little wall up, you got your little protection, but somebody could be seeing you. You have that little excitement factor.
You have discovery fantasies.
No, I'm a exhibitionist. I guess I should reveal that me and Shelley are both butt naked right now.
Well, hey, that's perfectly understandable. Okay, next story. This is from Virginia Beach, and this is about a. Let's see, what in the world here? Apparently, a bra was used as a weapon. Hang on a second. I had the story, and then it just disappeared in my whole list of stories. Oh, here it is. Okay, no, I'm sorry. This is from Lexington, Kentucky. All right. Says here, woman choked with bra defends herself with ceramic chicken. Police in Kentucky said a woman who was being strangled with a bra fended off her attacker by striking her in the head with a ceramic chicken. A 61-year-old woman of Lexington said she opened her door because she thought the banging and shouting was her granddaughter there for a visit, but instead she found a crazy, topless 31-year-old lady at the door. The homeowner told police the stranger pushed her way into the house and wrapped her bra around her neck and was trying to kill her. She was speaking like she was possessed by demons and just making grunting sounds. Says you could see in her eyes she was not right in the head. Says she choked me down. We fought for a good 15 to 20 minutes. Finally, I saw one of my ceramic chickens on the floor, so I picked it up and started bashing her on the head for it. That was an all-out fight to the death. Thank goodness 911 got there in time, and they're thinking maybe one of those bath salt stories.
Do you think when she reached for the ceramic chicken, she grabbed it by the neck and choked the chicken?
I bet you that's exactly what happened. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will share with you the final stories I have saved for tonight's Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. the hour, in the final minutes of tonight, Speaking of Strange, I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Mind you, tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. Also, there's a link if you go to speakingofstrange.com. You'll also find podcasts there. You can download MP3s of this show going back for years. You don't have to sign up for anything. It's very simple. You just go there, you click on the hour one, hour two, hour three of the date, and you can download that MP3 to any of your devices, your cell phone, your tablet, your computer, your whatever you have there, and listen to it at your leisure. And there are people who do that every day. So we prefer for you to listen to it when we air it, and there are certain advantages to doing that, but the podcasts are there. Also, I also want to tell you now, if you missed the earlier section of the show, I have a new book coming out this year. It's called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. And if you plan to ever possibly buy this book, do me a favor. Help support this show and support my work and go and buy it right now. Because if you order it right now, it will cost you about $11. Those pre-orders are going to help the book get an even bigger release when it comes out later this year. So do this for me as a personal favor. If you are going to ever buy a copy of this book, go to Amazon.com, search for Use the Force by Joshua P. Warren, or there should be a link for you at speakingofstrange.com. So get it now, and you'll have it directly in your mailbox as soon as it's released, and I promise you, you will enjoy it. I think it is the most powerful thing that I've ever written, frankly. Okay, here are a couple of stories we're going to end the show on. The first one comes to us from Japan, a place called Odawara. And, you know, we have very high expectations of monks of all sorts, but particularly Buddhist monks. A Buddhist monk, one would imagine, is a guy who has separated himself from technology and has put himself in an environment of seclusion and reflection. But instead, this monk has been arrested for filming up women's skirts on an escalator. Police have arrested this 41-year-old Buddhist monk for using his smartphone to film up skirts. It says, according to police, he was identified as a community leader from a temple in Hadano, Japan. They say one victim in particular was on a long escalator when she suspected the monk, who was wearing his traditional garb, who was behind her, was using his smartphone to film up her skirt. Somebody grabbed his phone, and then, of course, he got into trouble. And when they asked him why he did this, he said it helped him to release his pent-up tensions so he could meditate better and become more enlightened. Mm-hmm. And the last story of the night, and I want to remind you again, Dark 30 Hour, this means that these are stories that are more controversial, more sordid and seedy, not for the kids, not for the easily offended, so tune out if you don't want to hear this kind of stuff. This one is also from Japan. What is the world coming to when the Japanese are doing weird stuff? Who would have ever thunk that,
Sam? Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Police in Japan arrested a 40-year-old man after matching his DNA to a sample taken off of an 18-year-old woman's skirt. They say here that this man is what they call a serial train masturbator. And he has now admitted to harassing more than 100 women. He told police that he was excited to be in close contact with women on crowded trains. He said, "Trains and women are my thing, and I'm great at what I do." They say he was cutting holes in his jacket pockets so he could discreetly touch himself. And then, I think you can figure out what was happening next. next, and I believe that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Sam Steele, John Anderson, and Mobius. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Tune in next time. Until then, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. Next week, we'll have a brand new one. Tune in for that. You are commanded. But you can't.